It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
With you on this Thanksgiving Day 2019. That's an old hymn. I know it is. It's sung by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir in that recording. But this is a great day to just stop and express our thanks, not to just anyone, but our thanks to God. The Bible says, I think of that verse, thanks unto God for his unspeakable gift. And of course, in that passage, it's talking about his son Jesus. But really, gratitude and thankfulness is a theme in Scripture. I think of, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And it occurred to me this morning, and as I was reviewing those verses, that our founding fathers, who were, for the most part, dedicated, many of them pastors, Christians, they brought to the new world and to their new government this whole attitude that we needed to be grateful. Remember that when the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock, they immediately gave thanks. And so I think then of our founding father, who himself was a very strong Christian, George Washington, actually wrote volumes of personal prayers. Even when he was a boy, he was writing prayers. He had a prayer service or a small group with the Secretary of State when he was president. They met every week to pray together. And so this is what he said. This is his National Day of Thanksgiving proclamation in New York, October the 3rd, 1789, where it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and to humbly implore his protection and favor. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these United States to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all good that was, that is, or that will be. Which reminds me, does it not you, of Revelation? All that is and was and is to come. He is what it is, what was and is to come. And George Washington knew that well. He goes on to say, that we then may all unite unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence in the course and conclusion of the late war. He's talking, of course, about the Revolutionary War they had just won. Can you imagine how grateful? For the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government, for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted. He's talking about the Constitution. He's excited about that and grateful for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of the true religion. And George is talking about, President Washington is talking about Jesus, the true religion, and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the 3rd of October, A.D. 1789, George Washington. And that's how this day all began as a celebration for this country. I've asked to join me this morning my sweet husband, Bruce, and because we are very grateful on this day, aren't we, honey?
Yes, we are.
I would like to know just what you thought about that. It's probably fresh to your ears. Anything catch you about what Washington just said?
Well, if you want to put it in today's terms of what we watched the last few days with this impeachment process, that he asked that the government be wise, just, and constitutional. Mm. And I think watching that, we've seen that today's government is basically anything but that, except for a few people that are trying to hold on. But to go to a broader sense, I think, again, this is what our country is based on, is Judeo-Christian values. And one of those, a huge one of those, is to be thankful. And we have so much to be thankful for in this country, regardless of that circus that's going on in Washington right now. You think of what this country has versus the rest of the world, and for the most part, there's no comparison. We are blessed beyond measure.
We are, and I was just thinking as he was like asking God, that was kind of a prayer. His proclamation was actually a kind of a prayer. He's asking God for his blessings, for prosperity on the country, and he talks about how they had enjoyed prosperity since the ending of the war and the establishment of the Constitution, and then he's asking that men would prosper. And look how this country's prospered. How could he have even dreamed, Bruce, of how this country would grow and be the strongest nation on earth, blessing all nations, really, by its giving, by exporting the gospel of Jesus mm-hmm. through missionaries. It's just amazing. So I also am reminded of what great men founded this country and how great their sacrifice. So I think it's good to be reminded of that and be grateful today.
It is, because if you think, you have to remember, they were just people just the way we are. And you think if we were under the tyranny of another country right now, would we have the intestinal fortitude, would we have the will to fight a revolution and to establish a government the way they did? I highly doubt it. I mean, what those founding fathers and persons that were involved in that revolution and in that government initiation were, it was a God thing. That's the only way I can explain it. That's the only way people would have had that kind of perseverance.
You know, I'm going to push back a little bit because honestly, Bruce, I think this is our moment. I don't think people ever naturally rush to great sacrifice. It's a process. And I think that people now are beginning to understand what a great conflict we're in. And some are slow to hear it. Nobody wants to rush to giving up jobs or, you know, putting their families through hardship, losing their houses and their prosperity. Nobody does that in any age. And so I think this is a time when we're beginning to see, and I think people are rising up. And I think of the guys in Washington that are on the front lines, losing sleep, bearing the burden of this on our behalf. I think of Jim Jordan. I think of Mark Meadows. I think of Devin Nunes and many others that we could fill in the blanks who are working so hard. And I think of other people that you and I both know on the front lines in D.C. So, and I think people who call into this show and talk about what they're doing in their hometowns and their school boards, and they're getting involved and they're trying to fight back. And I believe God's going to hear their prayers and honor their sacrifices.
Yes, and my comments were in no way to be disregarding of the type of people that you just mentioned. there are people that are standing in the breach, just as they did in the colonial times, that are trying to bring this government and bring this country back to what it was originally founded to be. And just as you say, there is a grassroots underlying body of people that I think are being awakened and are seeing what we need to do and what we need to get back to. And, you know, I hate to only talk about politics. Really, we need to get back as a people to what people are supposed to be about, your beliefs, your faith.
Your family.
Your family. Mm-hmm. We sort of just gloss over that. And you know, anytime you start to do anything wrong, you're always told, go back to the basics. What could be more basic than let's go back to our faith, our families, our freedoms, things of that nature that we need to appreciate and then go forward to enhance that.
Always, we do practice gratitude, you and I together. We grumble a lot, but we would say we have no real problems because we've known what it's like to have real problems. I want to say what I'm grateful for in this moment is you. I am so blessed by having a husband like you. And I want to say personally to my audience, you had a terrible accident not that many weeks ago and had emergency surgery, and your recovery has been miraculous. And for that, I just want to thank God in the presence of my listeners. I'm so very grateful, not only for you, but also for God's quick recovery in your life. It could have been very different. So thank you, Jesus. What are you thankful for?
Well, I'm going to come right back to you and say I am very grateful for you, and that I watch you every day go into the breach here and stand on the front lines and trying to talk about politics, but also trying to express your faith and to lead with your faith. And so very few people want to do that. Well, I shouldn't say so very few, but many people do not want to do that. And for the people that do, I am thankful for you. I am thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for our pastors. I'm thankful for our missionaries, for our believers, for people that fight for us every day, not just in a political sense or in a conflict, whether it be battle or politics sense, but in a faith sense, in that you're lifting up Jesus, lifting up a God.
Yeah, that can't be left out, because otherwise we lose our perspective. And what are we without him anyway? What did George Washington just remind me? He who is and was and is to come, he is the center of everything. And so we have to remember him. We have about just a minute or so left, Bruce, and I thought it would be good if you and I prayed a prayer of thanksgiving, just briefly, the two of us, on behalf of everybody listening on this Thanksgiving Day. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful. If we grumble too much, please forgive us. We're grateful that you ignore that and love us anyway, and we want you to know that, honestly, we're grateful for life and health and peace in this country, relative peace. It could be so much worse. We're grateful for our families, and as I said, I'm grateful for my husband.
Lord, thank you for all your blessings. They're immeasurable. Thank you for families. Thank you for faith. Thank you for people that adhere to your laws, your wishes, that worship you, that remember you, and thank you for all the blessings you give us, which we'll never understand until we get to heaven, the multitude of what you've done for us.
Yes, Sam. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you in your precious name. Now, I hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving, and maybe you want to pray with your families, maybe your children. Go around your table and practice gratitude. If it's not been your practice at your table, then maybe this is the year to start. Let's practice gratitude. There's great power in the prayers and thanksgiving of God's people. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my bed. Thy word. lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Be near me to the end.
Sandy Rios with you on this Thanksgiving Day. And the reason I'm choosing that is because of all the things we have to be grateful for, I think God himself, who has revealed himself through Scripture, if we ever should be grateful for him, it's on this Thanksgiving. With all the things that are happening in the world, God, who has changed many of our lives, transformed us, given life meaning, and helped us to cope with some of the difficulties in our personal lives and also as we see the complications in this nation and the world at large. And so I'm going to spend some time today talking about God's Word, which, by the way, I'm in love with. And so I want to introduce to you my guest. It's Art Aris. Art is the founder and CEO of Kingstone. Is it Kingstone Bible? Is that the actual name, Art?
Kingstone Comics.
Kingstone Comics. He joined me like 2 years ago. If you were listening, you heard Art with me, but it's been a while, so he needs to be reintroduced. He is the executive pastor, by the way, of a church in Leesburg, Florida. It's the First Baptist Church, so he has a full-time job, but he also has this full-time ministry, and it's going to be, once you hear what all he's doing, you're going to find that astounding, as I do. Art, basically, Kingstone is a comic version of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, right?
Really, what Kingstone is the Marvel of the faith market. When we started, you know, Marvel and DC are the big players, but there was nobody in the faith market really focusing on that demographic. So we raised capital and brought on about 44 artists that worked for Marvel and DC because from the genesis of the company, our goal was anytime somebody picked up a Kingstone product and laid it beside a Marvel or DC, that there would be no appreciable difference.
And to that end, you hired artists and illustrators and writers who were, in fact, drop some names here.
Kyle Hotz is one of the top guys with, he was one of the top guys with Marvel, a horror artist with them. Sony approached us about doing a graphic novel with their first Christian motion picture. They had a first Christian horror film going in theaters, and they wanted a graphic novel with that, so we did that with Sony Pictures, and we brought him on there. But all of our guys, they'd worked with things on Justice League, Superman, Spider-Man. They were all of them were big players. Matter of fact, one of the wife of one of the vice presidents of DC Comics works with us.
What was your original thought about this? Like when you were lying in bed one night when you were 30, whatever, 25, and you said, "I want to make a comic book that illustrates the Bible." What was your goal, Art?
Well, my goal had always been to communicate the gospel and the Bible to people that are kind of on the periphery. For years, I was a football coach and I was a public school teacher, and my wife really was always the person that was the television director, producer. She was always the media person. But when I went into ministry, we had a very large children's ministry, and I was always struggling, scratching, trying to find materials to connect with these kids that did not have a church background. Never read the Bible, didn't know anything about it. And as we prayed and fasted, it became very clear that this was a way that you could engage with people with the Bible. There's a lot of people who just literally will not pick up the Bible because of the word they can't read. The words are too daunting. They don't understand the timeline. They don't understand the names. They don't understand the interconnectivity of the story. And so that's one reason we spent 7 years, but we created the Kingstone Bible. It's the most complete graphic adaptation of the Bible ever been done.
What was the first moment or incident where you, sometimes we think God's calling us to do something, pretty sure.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's not actually till we're in it that we have affirmation. So what was a moment, one of the first moments where you felt like, wow, God really did call me to do this. This is the right thing for me to be doing.
That is a great question, and I remember it very clearly. We were struggling, scratching, raising capital. We'd try and, you know, get artists in. We'd lose them. We'd have problems. And for a publisher, I probably made every possible mistake that could be made in publishing with printing and artists and different things. But God got us through, and the first week that our app came out, and I was checking the stats in the Play Store and Apple. And the first week, there were 7 downloads of our app in Saudi Arabia. And that was kind of my Columbus New World moment. Okay, God, now I see what you're doing. And literally, just before I came over here to do the show, I just checked our languages, and we're up to today 31 languages. We literally added 5 languages last week.
It is astounding. And I said to you before we started this conversation, the challenge is going to be to get, we can't get everything in because you're doing so much. It's truly remarkable. So you started with this comic book illustration of the Bible, which is what we spoke about last time.
Yes.
And let's jump ahead to say today you've expanded to, and just give us headline or bullet points, and then we'll get into those things.
Sure. Well, one of the things that really we, as I've shared before, we don't really track what the other Christian media companies do. Really, I look at Marvel and DC because to me, I'm competing. I'm seeing what they're doing because I'm really competing with them for the hearts and minds and kids of teenagers and young adults, that type of thing. And we had just started making motion comics because we had created this incredible art asset base, the most complete, you know, graphic adaptation of the Bible ever been done. And we had all this fine art. We said, well, we've got it. We need to start animating it now. And so what we did is we began bringing on animators, and we just began creating literally just a few segments of animation and motion comics with it. And literally within weeks, already over 10 languages, and we just saw a tremendous response to it. I think I shared one of the things I shared with you. We had a Bible translator in Syria that he took our How Do We Know the Resurrection is True? And he showed me the stats. The first week in Syria, he had 3,818 downloads.
In Syria.
Muslim country, yeah.
You know, I want to give people a touch, just a touch of what you're talking about. When you say animated comics, so you're using the graphics of your comic books and you add a little bit of motion and you're adding professional voiceovers.
Exactly. We add visual effects, motion. We add motion to it, and we provide, as you said, professional voiceovers with it.
All right. So I'm going to give people a touch of this. Let's listen to it. This is the story of the Tower of Babel, which is funny because I was just talking to a doctor about this on an airplane just Sunday. But that's another story. The Tower of Babel, I was talking to him about this. So this is the animated comic book.
Motion comics.
Okay, yeah. Let's listen.
Nimrod, meaning rebel, was a great-grandson of Noah, and he grew to be a mighty warrior on the earth. At this time, all of mankind had one common language. But instead of obeying God's command to spread throughout the earth, they stopped at a fertile plain that was called Shinar, or Babylon.
Let us build a city, a tower that reaches to the heavens. We will make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the earth.
The great Nimrod will lead us.
There are plenty of materials with which to build this city. Come. Let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. We will use brick instead of stone to build this great structure. And we will use the tar that is here for the mortar.
We need no god to rule over us, nor do we need the ancient rules of my great-grandfather, Noah. This great city will be the center of the earth. All people can come here to worship.
And Nimrod will rule over us.
He will be our ruler, our high priest.
Great Nimrod! He is a god!
So construction began on this new center of worship. They began to build a great tower to touch heaven itself. Most likely, this was a large ziggurat where they could worship stars and created things rather than the creator himself. The Lord came down to see both the city and the tower that the men were building.
If as one people they have begun to do this, then nothing will be impossible for them. Let us confuse their language so they will not be able to understand each other.
Von was für einen Unsinn sprichst du?
Ajutați-mă să înțeleg ceea ce întreabăm.
Faites de la place à l'autre homme pour regarder ça.
Quit speaking that strange tongue. Get out of my sight.
What is going on? Don't you understand me?
Those who spoke new languages could only understand each other. As a result, work on the tower stopped, and the people scattered throughout the earth as God intended.
All right, that's the story of the Tower of Babel. That's Motion Comics. That's Kingstone Comics is the one that produced that, and it's gone out. How many languages?
Well, the animation now is in about 10 languages. We've already been picked up by 5 television networks overseas for Farsi, Turkish, Romanian, Urdu, and one other language I can't remember. Oh, Albanian.
And you know what, Art, the thing that strikes me, because I have 4 grandkids, so I see cartoons sometimes. And that's the kind of voice the kids are used to. Like that may sound strange to adult ears, maybe if they don't watch comics, but that's kind of, and then he said, and then the bad guy said, you know, the Japanese comic. It's the same kind of delivery. So it's very much in vogue of the style that people who are into this venue are used to. Let me give him a touch of the Hindi Tower of Babel, just a little bit of it. Let's play that one.
दूसरा संभवतः जल प्रलय से पहले का वातावरण ग्रीनहाउस जैसा था, जिसमें पृथ्वी के चारों तरफ पानी था, जो हानिकारक पराबैंगनी किरणों को रोकता था। यह पौधों और जानवरों के लिए आदर्श वातावरण प्रदान करता था। जल प्रलय के बाद पृथ्वी बहुत
अच्छी। All right, so there you go for all you Hindi speakers. That was just for you. So Art, you've talked about what kind of feedback you got from Syria, but you're getting feedback from people. Just amazing feedback. I was reading some of it, if I can find what I was reading. You said that they'll send them into prisons.
Yes, we do. Sometimes people sponsor say we want to get them into prisons, and we're inundated with letters from prisons or prisoners. They say these are the top requested books because a lot of prisoners have reading difficulties, and we have a lot of families that buy our stuff to give them to prisoners. So their children, they're in prison. So yeah, it's very, very effective. And the ones that are most heart-touching when the prisoners write us and they beg us, please send these to my kids. I don't want my kids to end up where I'm at. Those are the letters that really get our hearts.
There's another one, because you've got this translated into the Motion Comics and also your regular...
Comics, yes.
Your regular Kingstone Bible. But so we cannot neglect what it's done to English-speaking families and children here. And here's one from Kelly in Georgia. She said, I have 3 boys, 12, 10, and 8. Normally, they will read a book one time, and that will be it. With your products, they read them over and over again. And then another one, Mom in California, my 17-year-old son won't read the Bible, but he will read these. Sandra in Pennsylvania, my teenage son is crazy about these.
Yeah, just a few weeks ago, I got a letter from a really long letter from a lady in Australia, and she said, I've got to tell you what happened. She said, my husband, he was just really far out there, and all of a sudden he showed up. He began going to church with us. He came to the table. He began praying with us. And she said, I was overjoyed that my husband just made this major change. And she said, I was sitting at dinner. She said, please tell me what happened. And he said, I read about Christ in the Kingstone Bible. And she just was just overjoyed that we had printed the comics. And literally, what you have there, I have pages and pages and pages of English and other languages, yeah.
I don't doubt that. And it is true, Art, that our kids are not readers now. They're used to blurbs. You know, if they read at all, they read little sentences on the internet or on their phones, and they don't sit down and read long format texts.
Yes, that's a really good point. There's 2 things to really engage people. I feel like there's got to be a visual component is a very effective. 2 weeks ago, we had this couple up in Gainesville, really sweet homeschool family that came down. They bought 2,000 Jonah comic books and took them back there. And what they're very creative. They took their house and they turned it into the well of the belly of the whale. And so you go into this long black chamber, which is the whale's belly. And so, you know, they tell the story of Jonah, and then they give them the Jonah comic book. And the parents emailed me and they said, you know, and they sent me this long picture, this long line of people coming in their house. She said, we had 3,000 people that engaged in scripture that night because you had the comics. But one of the things we're doing with the Motion Comics is we're trying to animate the whole Bible. Is we're just doing it, Sandy, in little short 4, 5, 6 minute clips, because on video it's all about short clips. But through all these short clips, then we explain the whole Bible. And then we also interlace it with these apologetic things like, how do we know we got the Bible? How do we know the resurrection of Jesus is true? What's the origin of the races? How did Satan fall from heaven? Things that gather people's attention. One of the first partners we had was the Iranian Bible Society. And they began translating it into Farsi because, as you know, Christianity is just exploding in Iran. And Sat7 Pars is putting our animation into Farsi, and they're going to broadcast into Iran, Tajikistan, and Afghanistan. And the guy from the Iranian Bible Society came in my office, and we were talking about the project. And he looked over on my wall, and he saw the one that I had about what answers, what does the Bible say about dinosaurs? What about UFOs and stuff? And he goes, that is exactly what is going to capture these kids. He said, they want to know about that kind of stuff. And so we give them the Bible, which obviously is the most life-transforming thing, but we give them apologetic things too that answer questions. Because I think sometimes Christianity, we answer questions that people are not asking. I think we need to answer the questions that people are asking. And so this guy that was, I just had just met him, he said, hey, this is really going to touch the people of Iran.
My guest is Art Aris, and we're talking about Kingstone Comics. And if you're interested, you just have to go to kingstone.co, kingstone.co, or other thing we didn't talk about yet, but we will in a second, is superbible.tv, which is a whole other, well, it's a different branch of your ministry, superbible.tv. They also have an app. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about just the whole idea of why this push to get the Bible in people of other languages and countries. How does that tie into the mission of Christ? And we'll do that when we return. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
There is only one race, the human race. The Bible does not explicitly address where our different skin tones or races come from. It's possible that when God confused the languages at the Tower of Babel, that he also created racial diversity. It is also possible that God made genetic changes to humanity to help different groups adapt to different ecologies. For example, skin naturally rich in melanin equips people living in areas with intense sunlight to be better protected from ultraviolet rays. It has been theorized that Adam and Eve possessed the genes to produce black, brown, and white offspring, similar to how a mixed-race couple produce offspring of varying color. The different languages came into existence at the Tower of Babel. Groups that spoke one language moved away with others who spoke that same language. When this occurred, the gene pool for a specific group would drop dramatically as the group no longer had the entire human population to mix with. As time went on and closer relations took place, certain features would become emphasized in different groups. As this occurred across the generations, the gene pool would grow smaller and smaller. As a result, people of one language family would begin to share the same or similar features. Since God obviously desired humanity to be diverse in appearance, it makes sense that God would have given Adam and Eve and their offspring the ability to produce children of different skin tones. The original created couple would have possessed genes to produce every shade of offspring. Years later, the only survivors of the flood were Noah and his wife, their three sons, and their wives, a total of eight people. Perhaps Noah's daughters-in-law were of different races. It is also possible that Noah's wife was a different race than Noah. Maybe all eight of them were of a mixed race, which would mean they possessed the genetics to produce children of different races. God loves and cares for all people, regardless of their skin color, and he expects his followers to do the same. Though we cannot say with a biblical certainty the mechanism God used to create different racial features, there is no question that we were all created for the same purpose, to glorify him.
Sandy Rios with you on this Thanksgiving, and the reason we're talking about this, because I just think that it's time for us to celebrate God's word, not just celebrate it, but really get serious about it. The lack of seriousness at this time in our country just astounds me about our faith and about what God has to say to us, because we better hide it in our hearts. We may not have, don't think that there might not be a time sooner rather than later when we can't even put our hands on an actual copy. Art Aris is the founder and CEO of Kingstone Bible, which has translated the Bible into a comic book format, which has been used to reach, of course, is being used to reach people all over the English-speaking world, but now people in many, many languages and countries across the globe. Art, you know, I was just talking, actually, with my husband yesterday about the Great Commission, about God, Jesus, giving the commission that it should be, the gospel will be preached to all the earth. And then I think about the passage in Revelation that says, none of this will come to pass until the gospel's been preached to every tribe and nation. Just think of what you're contributing to that, Art.
The scripture says every nation, tribe, language, and people. And that's, you know, I know that this today is about Thanksgiving. And I was thinking as we were setting up today, you know, I don't think I've lost that sense of thanksgiving of the gospel and the Bible. And I think that's one reason that we're, because I'm so thankful that God gave it to us. I have this huge obligation to go to nations with it. In April, I spoke at the Eurasia Media Distribution Consultation. It was about 700 missionaries from every evangelical agency. And it's really funny, you know, here in the U.S., comics is about a $1 billion a year industry, but overseas it's huge. In Japan alone, it's $5 billion. And there's one French comic book character that sold over $200 million. But it was really interesting as I looked out on the sea of brown and different, you know, different skin tones, everybody out there. It just, the response was absolutely stunning. Just 2 days ago, I got an email from Transworld Radio in the Netherlands, and the guy was just running the sound for me. And he got so captivated by what we were doing, and he just said, listen, we're about to do this in Dutch and Flemish. And he said, I took your stuff to a conference. This was just days ago. And he said the people just went crazy about it. And so now they're doing all of the motion comics in their languages. They're doing the comics in their languages. And so we see this tremendous opportunity not only to engage people in our own culture, but we're seeing that there's a real transcultural, huge transcultural element in comics. And literally in about 2 weeks, my wife and I will be in Malta meeting with at an Unreached People Groups conference. And we expect to have, we're already at 31 languages. We already have one mission group that works with 353 language groups, and they're looking to see what they might do with it. So we're, you know, my wife will tell you she never plays Monopoly with me because I'm so competitive. But one of the things,
But she always wins, right? No, I'm kidding.
Yes, but one of the things. No, she doesn't. Nobody wants
to play Monopoly. The competitive part of art cannot let that go.
nobody wants to play Monopoly with me and my family. But we were looking. I saw what's the top translated books, and I saw that I'm pretty sure very soon we're going to be one of the top 20 most translated books, but. I saw that the Quran was number 11 at 112 languages. And I said, Lord, I've got to go past 112 languages with this. But we're hoping, you know, at Malta we'll have more languages. But, you know, as people just come on and sponsor languages and these little video clips, we're able to just give it to multitudes of people. And again, you know, I'm trained in all kinds of evangelism. I was under Dr. James Kennedy at Evangelism Explosion. I've been to prisons. I've been every places. And I've seen the power of comics to engage people. And I tell pastors, I said, listen, don't take my word from it. I know I'm the publisher. I've got a vested interest. But I said, you just have it. Do a test. Okay, you have a big youth event. Just put whatever text materials you have on one side of the room, the other one put comics and graphic novels. Just come back and tell me where the kids go.
And I wonder what the answer is. We know what the answer is. Yeah. You know, as you were talking, the thing that struck me are, do you talk about these other language groups? We used to think of missions, of course, as being Africa, the countries of Asia, Papua New Guinea, all those places. But honestly, you mentioned the Dutch, you mentioned Western Europe. They are so lost now. They have so lost their Christian culture. God is just like, you mention his name and it doesn't evoke any kind. There's not even a spark in so many of those countries. I could see this really being an incredible tool to re-reach the kids of Europe.
We think so, especially comics in Europe are big, and it's the same thing. Like I say in America, there's, you know, I'm just amazed at the lack of biblical literacy in America. I could give you so many stories. I won't because of the constraints of time, but literally people who will not pick up a Bible, and I'm talking about America, will pick up a comic book and read it. We just see it time and time again, and we see that being the same thing overseas. Just a couple of days ago, one of my animators emailed me, go, hey, we got a problem. We just cut this track, and the lady says, I didn't realize it was anti-evolution. I can't do it. I said, well, just tell her we'll give her money back. I mean, she can give us our money back because we paid her to cut this track. But I just realized that these people have just bought into all of these lies of Satan, and we have to be there with the truth. And like you're saying about the truth, just let it out of the cage.
Yes, exactly. Yes, I do say that. I had a very long conversation with a doctor on an airplane just a few days ago, and he was brilliant. He's actually getting his PhD in hospital administration management. He's going to be running big corporations. So he has a very analytical mind and also a doctor's mind because he practices medicine. So you can imagine we started talking about all kinds of interesting things. And then I just asked him point blank, I said, do you believe in God? And he surprised me by saying yes. He was raised Catholic, but as he started to talk, I realized he's an example of someone with a great mind who has God designed from his own limited knowledge of Scripture. So I know that God wouldn't do fill in the blank. I know that God would not. And I just challenged, I said, you know, you're brilliant and you're so good and God's going to use you. But the thing I see is that you really don't know. How do you know what God thinks? I don't think you have a functioning understanding of his word. And that's the only way we can know about him. So we had a great discussion. But that's the point, Art. We are operating in such, and the thing I also wanted to communicate to him is that faith comes by hearing,
mm-hmm.
and hearing by the word of God. We have to hear, all of us, even who have entered the kingdom through an initial agreement that we believe in Jesus, our faith does not grow if we don't understand God's word. And when we do, it's the biggest adventure ever. It's wonderful.
Yes, it's a whole new world out there. It's a whole new galaxy that people are just walking in darkness. They don't know all of this light, all of this truth, all of this love, all of these phenomenal things that are out there. One of the things that I'm such a champion of comics is because there's a real efficiency of format. In a short amount of time, you can relay a lot of information. It's very effective. Educationally, there's something called the dual code theory of cognition that we process text in one area, we process visuals in another. When you marry those together, there's a powerful retention rate. And also, as I shared from an evangelism standpoint, and also an engagement point, the people that will not pick up the Bible to read it, like I've shared with you, lots of stories that people will begin engaging and understanding the Bible. So there are a lot of, just from the format, the medium itself, forget the content that we're putting in there that is biblically accurate, just the content is a very effective way. Actually, West Point uses graphic novels in some of their materials.
Did they use yours?
No, not ours.
Yeah, and they could use them. They could actually use yours. If people would go to the website that we mentioned, which is kingstone.co, what would they look for? I mean, we've talked about so many different things. How would they even go about? Let's say they want something for their kids. What would you recommend?
Well, there's three formats we do things. We do traditional print, we do digital or ebooks, and then we do the motion comics. And so people just have different preferences, the way they like to process information. But I recommend that I recommend families to have the Kingstone Bible because it's just a great way to engage Scripture. There's a guy, a well-known billionaire here in America, that had a great impact for this country. And he emailed me and said he had read, he reads the Bible a different way. And he said he read the Kingstone Bible for like 4 months, read it all the way through. He's a very well-known guy, great guy, and it was a big thing. But the other thing that I really recommend every youth pastor to have, one of the most important products we do is we have a book called The Book of God. It's a graphic novel that explains how we got the Bible. It explains the reliability of the Bible, historicity of the Bible, how it actually came together. And I had our youth pastor said, Art, the biggest question that youth ask me, how do I know the Bible is accurate? Well, we have a comic book, 128-page comic book that answers that question.
See, that's fun. I think that's fun because you tackle the hard stuff. You tackle the really hard stuff in comic book form, like even hell. You have one on hell.
Yeah.
It's like, you do not run from the controversies. And so it's kingstone.co.co, kingstone.co. And Super Bible. What do you mean by Super Bible?
Superbible.tv. Super Bible is our ministry side because, you know, obviously a portion of our company is dedicated to the Lord. And superbible.tv, there's a great ministry, Voice of the Martyrs, that came to us, and they said, man, we feel like what you're doing has huge impact, and we want to get this in the languages of persecuted peoples we work through. So Voice of the Martyrs did a major sponsorship that we could give it away in Arabic and Turkish and Farsi and Indonesian and other languages. And so we have people come along and says, well, I want to sponsor this video in Turkmen or whatever. And my wife and I were just really humbled when we went to, when I spoke at Eurasia Media Distribution, when you meet our brothers and sisters in Turkmenistan and Azerbaijan and just what they're suffering for the gospel, it just humbles us and realize that we have the privilege of giving these, they don't have the money to afford to make these comics, but we can take what we've got, help them in their context to be able to explain God's word to people.
It's a real adventure, and we have to mention the app too. When you have a Kingstone app, what does that do? You get all the comic books. What do you get?
Yes, well, the app is for free, and you go into the Play Store, download Kingstone Comics. There's an app. A lot of people just prefer. Probably about 90% of people read comics on their phone. And so we have an app.
Gosh, that's a whole world I cannot relate to.
Yeah. So we
still
have,
I'm listening.
Yes, well, we have the Kingstone Comics app. It's in the Play Store, and it'll be on iTunes this week. It's already been approved and processed. And then we're working on trying to develop and build a super Bible app, which will be a language app, very similar to the Jesus film, where you just pick out whatever languages, because we're already at 31 languages, and we just want to be able to have it where they can do it, and we encourage them to have their own indigenous site as well.
Let me ask you a pastor question. You only have a minute to answer. That's the tough part. I mentioned that I was reflecting on the Great Commission on the fact that in Revelation it says that Jesus won't come again until the gospel's been preached to every tribe, nation, and land, and people group. People often ask, this is another part of my discussion with my doctor friend about, you know, what the classic question, how about those who've never heard? And it seems to me, Art, in my own finite understanding of this, that in ways we can't understand, God has asked that he has demanded, he's expecting, he's promised that the gospel will be preached to every people group before he comes again. And he's not limited by time and space. So I don't know how that's all going to happen, because a lot of people have died in those other places and lands. You have 30 seconds to comment on that, sir?
Well, God's not left himself without witness. He's given us the light of creation. He's given us the light of conscience, and he's given us the light of Christ. But I think God is giving us incredible media tools in these last days to reach literally billions of people. And we're playing a small part of it.
Yes, and I think it's just another sign that he's coming soon. That you just feel the whole earth kind of groaning for that. All right, it's kingstone.co, kingstone.co, or superbible.tv. And Art Aris has been our guest. And I hope that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family, being grateful for each other and for God's word. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.